We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Authentic Brand and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with almost 50 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Weekly Podcast, presented each week by Kansas Land Tire and by Authentic Brand Apparel. I'm voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson, alongside his color analyst, Stan Weber. And we will look back at the Dillon Sunflower Showdown victory by the Wildcats on today's show and look ahead to what should be a very, very entertaining game this Saturday in Morgantown, West Virginia at 11 a.m. as the Wildcats take on the Mountaineers, K-State 4-0, and the leaders in the Big 12 Conference. Stan, we'll get to the Mountaineers here in just a moment, but a quick recap on the Dillon Sunflower Showdown victory, 55-14. And I guess on this one, we better start with the special teams. It was a special day for those guys, and in particular, Phillip Brooks, who ran two punts back for touchdowns in a record-setting day.
First time K-State's ever had two punt returns, just normal punt returns without a blocked kick. Just normal catch the ball and return it back. The first time ever K-State's had two touchdown returns in a game. Phillip Brooks does it, and then he passes David Allen's 1998 a game against Texas. When David Allen had four returns for 173 yards, he does it in four returns as well and ends up with 189 yards. So just an amazing job by Phillip Brooks. And not only are the two touchdowns incredibly off the charts good, Wyatt, when you think about it, he had four returns and the standard deviation is hardly there at all. He had returns of 40, 42, and the touchdowns of 55 and 52. His worst return of the day was 40 yards. I don't think I've seen anything like that ever before.
Yeah, it really was quite amazing. And it has been a very good year for K-State in terms of the special teams. And let's kind of dive into that a little bit because, you know, I've gotten asked from time to time, well, who is the special teams coach? And I think what we need to talk about here is obviously all of these assistant coaches have a hand in it. And then Stanton, your son also has a little bit of, more than a little bit, but quite a bit to do with that. And then you look at what's happening on the field and the production there. It's a production. That's a good way to say it, I think.
Yeah, it's a group effort. You know, it starts with Coach Chris Kleiman allowing them to have the kind of emphasis that they do. And then there's a group of players that have a pride that's been handed down. You mentioned Stanton. My son, he was a special teams captain in 2015, and when he got here in 2011, he was handed the baton of saying these special teams really matter. We can go win games, and there's a lot of kids who've gravitated toward it. You know, some players are superstars like David Allen or Terrence Newman, but really the backbone has been a bunch of kids who may only get a play in special teams, and they take great pride in it and understand. For instance, Stanton was never better than probably second or third team on the receiving end. Only had two receptions his whole career, but yet he played for 3.5 years on the special teams. He got inserted really early in the season against Oklahoma. And in 2012, that big upset of Oklahoma with the Big 12 championship team. Well, he can kind of communicate that on, and it has just continued on where there's a great pride. Brock Monty gets a ton of conversation because he does such a great job, and he's a captain out there, Wyatt. And then you've got guys like Tyler Burns who are becoming players who are on it all the time. Then Ross Elder and Landry Weber have been together on the special teams, kind of mirroring each other. One does one thing on the left and the other does it on the right, and there are others. But you mentioned that special teams are split up between the coaches at K-State. There's a different coach that owns and is operating and in charge of each special team, and that's the way they do that. And then you can have analysts as well, and Stanton is the special teams analyst. So he's the one who can grind and watch tape of the opponents, give a great scouting report of what they're going to do, why they do things, give ideas of what we ought to do and what we do, can draw up schemes and present them to the coaches and say, here's what you ought to do, here's things we need to work on, here's quality control issues across the board. So he doesn't get much sleep. He's pretty much at the stadium watching tape, trying to figure out what can K-State do better and what, how can you break down the opponents. And it's been just poetry in motion because hardly any teams return punts anymore, Wyatt. Kansas has zero punt returns for the year. Their last 5 or 6 years, I forget which it is, they were quoted in the last 5 or 6 years, the total yards that Kansas has in punt returns is something like 195 yards, and K-State had 189 on just 4 returns. And you also don't block kicks nowadays, and K-State's blocked 3 kicks already in the punt game. Then they recovered a fumble when Kansas muffed a kick. That was a big play in the game. Morgan Burns was down there to recover a fumble. They blocked a field goal. They've made 2 50-yard field goals. I mean, and they don't let people return them against them in the punt and kickoff game. And how about K-State, maybe the most unusual team in the nation, why I have to take it to the last part of this. Do you realize Ty Zentner and Jack Bloomer rotate in? We've got 2 punters, yeah. Not one. I mean, we don't even get a chance to talk about it that much. But K-State just puts in 1 punter, then the next, like it's no big deal. So it's pretty incredible across the board that they don't make mistakes in the special teams and they make big plays. That's an awesome combination. Bill Snyder started it. Sean Snyder continued it on, passed it on to all these players. Stanton now is right in the middle of it, learning from Sean Snyder the way he has, and Coach Snyder, and then Coach Kleiman and all of his guys. They bring in a real cool mindset to the special teams as well. They got some great schemes that they brought from North Dakota State. You mesh it all together, and wow, 2020, K-State's 4-0 in a conference, and you'd probably talk about the special teams first of why they are where they are.
All right, let's talk briefly about K-State's defensive effort, and I think you really probably start with holding Kansas to just 113 yards, 2.9 yards per try. That's a success no matter how you cut it.
Yeah, absolutely. The front wall is getting better and better, Wyatt. I thought Drew Wiley played an awesome game, but he's been rock solid. Eli Huggins hasn't been fully healthy the whole time, but he has stepped in as well. Those two defensive tackles along with Jalen Pickle, and now you're starting to see, you know, Robert Hintz get in there a little bit more. I thought Wyatt Hubert in the front wall had his best game of the year, Wyatt. I thought he was dominant. He caused all kinds of havoc for Kansas. He got a sack in the ball game. And he comes into the season as the most acclaimed defensive player for the Wildcats, and I thought he really had his best game against KU. But still, Bronson Massey is just getting better and better every week. He is starting to disrupt teams. We know Khalid Duke can do that. But then Annie Udike and Gainis, those guys are stepping in. Spencer Trussell, doing a nice job. And then you got 4 linebackers, right? Justin Hughes, Elijah Sullivan, Cody Fletcher, and Daniel Green. They're doing a nice job of stuffing the run and allowing K-State to play pass defense with their 5 defensive backs and the linebacker drops without having to blitz. And that's really what modern football has come down to. The passing game is so efficient, Wyatt, that you got to stuff the run. Don't allow the opponent to have any hope in the running game. Make it a passing game. And then hope you don't have to blitz, because if you blitz, usually you get taken advantage of in modern football. They find a way against the man-to-man coverage. But if you can rush only 4, mm-hmm. get some pressure on the quarterback, and still play coverage with the other 7, that gives the defense a chance. And K-State is doing that very well.
All right, let's talk about offense. I don't think there's any question that when you look at the first half A lot of it was K-State shooting itself in the foot, but not in that third quarter. They had three really good quality drives. Just your overall assessment of the offense, and in particular here, maybe Will Howard, who finished 17 of 24 passing for 243 yards and a couple of touchdowns with zero picks.
The offense is a work in progress, and whenever you put penalties in as hurdles to go over, the offense isn't good enough to overcome those, Wyatt. So it was a penalty fest in the first half for the K-State offense, and it really precluded them from getting going and getting in an offense working. So that's kind of the end of the first half. You walk out the field, you have a big lead for all the other reasons, interception return by Justin Gardner, et cetera. But the offense came out in the third quarter and said, we're going to join the game, and we're going to take penalties out. You see what happened, Wyatt? As soon as they excluded the penalties and just started playing ball and had the right down and distance, they started attacking and doing things. And also, I thought the passing game came alive. It's really no surprise that we're going to see game-to-game improvement by Will Howard, that he's going to be a different quarterback than he was against TCU. And it was all masked in the first half because of the penalties. But when he came out in the second half and started throwing the ball, you go, this guy looks more comfortable at quarterback running the offense than he did before against TCU. And that's not a surprise. With that week off, we talked about how he could create a development stage and make some improvements. The offense is feeling better around him. And I thought the line came off the ball better as well, Wyatt, opening up some holes in the running game. It all came together. Is K-State a dominant offense? No, but I think they're improved. I think the third quarter gave us a view a little bit more of what they can be. I'm a little saddened by the fourth quarter. The game was such a blowout. K-State had 55 points before the third quarter ended, and he just pretty much made sure that they didn't pile on anymore. You know, they didn't get it continue. I think the offense in a three straight drives in the third quarter to start the third quarter were touchdowns. You know, if the game would have been a little bit closer, I think we could have continued to see development. Instead, you just started mixing in players and being really conservative in your play calls. But let's just hope that that's a little spark in the third quarter. I think it does give us a good indication of what K-State can be. But now you move on, and West Virginia is really good on defense. So that is their feature card. So a little like the TCU game on the road, it's hard to find your spots where you're going to get your scoring against West Virginia. You're not just going to drive the ball up and down the field against them.
Well, we'll talk about West Virginia in just a moment. We remind you, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. And our program is brought to you by Authentic Brand, the official apparel provider of the K-State Sports Network. Shop for K-State gear at authentic-brand.com. That's authentic-brand.com. Well, the Wildcats are the conference leaders at 4-1 overall and ranked 16th in the country. West Virginia coming off a loss at Texas Tech, and they're 3-2 and 2-2 in the Big 12. Despite what happened in Lubbock, Texas last Saturday, late afternoon for the Mountaineers, Stan, I think we have to say that this defense is one that everybody in the league right now is talking about for the Mountaineers. They're good at really every level. They're well coordinated. This is an awfully talented group, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you're right, Wyatt. And you think about the Texas Tech game. They lost on a late touchdown. Oh, that touchdown was a fumble by the offense, scooped by Texas Tech and ran back 50 yards or so. So it wasn't the defense who gave up a winning drive. Yeah. They're very strong, and you got to start up front, White, with some names that you've heard kind of forever, but Darius Steeles and Dante Steeles, you got a brother combination that's very good, and their dad Gary was a West Virginia player back in the day and a 9-year NFL player. They really are solid with those two guys and can make big plays. But they've also got some people coming on, like Akeem Mesidor had two sacks in the last game, a kid from Canada. And then how about a transfer in, a grad transfer, Tony Fields is their leading tackler. He's really doing a good job of that middle level, like you spoke about, Wyatt. Here's a kid who was a 3-year starter for the University of Arizona that's come in and really taken right off for West Virginia. So good across the board, one of the better teams in the country. Because we talked about that stout front. K-State's showing a stout front and not allowing teams to run the ball at will, but West Virginia is even better at slowing down that running game. So we'll see if K-State can establish some run. Otherwise, it's what advantage West Virginia defense, because if they know you're going to pass, you really don't want to put that kind of stress on a true freshman quarterback like Will Howard. So the K-State offensive line is getting better. We're seeing some players move in there. How about Logan Long for the Cats getting in and some legitimate playing time? Cooper Beebe back, Wyatt. So now you got seven offensive linemen that you can count on. Taylor Portier, probably not quite there yet, but just knocking on the door. Carver Willis, Dawson Del Forge, you know, they're the next guys who might be a factor. But K-State's offensive line has a chance to be a little bit better, and they're going to need to be if K-State's going to have success in this game. You're going to have to be able to run the ball some, even though West Virginia's front is standing there as a big, tough wall to penetrate.
It's very interesting. I think we've kind of headlined the fact that West Virginia's strength is their defense. K-State's strength is probably their defense with a star right there by the special teams, but offense might be the real factor here. Let's talk about the Mountaineer offense. It starts with Jarrett Deggy, the quarterback. Stan, he's thrown for 300 yards in the last couple of games against Kansas and at Texas Tech, but they've split those games. And you get the feeling that his play to this point has been solid, just okay, maybe a little better than okay. You know, how is he playing? What do you think?
Well, I think we need to also take into account where West Virginia is and look at a little history. Neil Brown comes in as a new head coach, and they got a transfer that's kind of a big-time national news in Austin Kendall, a kid from Oklahoma that transfers to West Virginia. And everyone expects him to take over the job and light it up like they do at OU, but it's not that easy, right? And last year, West Virginia struggled. But with the new rule, you can play four games and not use up a year as a redshirt year. And K-State got to see Jarrett Deggy in his first game last year. He flashed and became a starter at K-State and put up a very nice game. He's a guy who is experienced. He was at Bowling Green. He really is a kid who knows how to win. You know, you think about Ellinger at Texas or Brewster at Baylor. You know, those are guys you just expect to make plays when the game's on the line. And that's kind of what Jarrett Deggy has been. We saw it last year with the Wildcats when he made some plays and West Virginia won for the fourth straight time over K-State. So I think he gives them a solidified quarterback, someone they can believe in. They know what to do. He knows how to establish things, but he's not going to dominate. He's not going to dictate to you and just go out and win the game by himself. He's a part of a team organization, a very solid quarterback. And if the game's on the line at the end, he's someone who's not going to get shaken. He's going to play very calmly. It seems like, you know, just like in the old days in the NFL, you think about Earl Morrill was a quarterback who didn't start. But whenever he came in at the end of his career, he was just so calm. Yes. And would just start running the offense just the way the coaches wanted. And everything went well. That's why I look at Jarrett Deggy. I mean, he's that kind of guy. He'll beat you if you allow him to beat you. And if the game's close, I don't think he'll make the big mistake. But he really needs Leddy Brown, the running back, to be good. They're really leaning on that running game. Last year, Neil Brown's offense could not run the football. That was the story of the season. One of the worst rushing teams in the country, and that's not Neil Brown football. He wants balance in the offense. Well, this year he's got the balance, and in fact, they lean on the running game. So Leddy Brown's the guy to watch. Number four, that's going to be a heck of a battle. We talked about that K-State front. Who wins that battle? Can Leddy Brown run enough that it's, you know, third and four? Or is K-State's defense going to shut down the run enough that Deggy's got to deal with a third and eight? Boy, that's all the difference in the world about the probabilities on third down play. So the running game setting up before we get to those third downs is going to be a critical point in who wins this game.
Such an exciting, exciting matchup with K-State and West Virginia. We'll have it for you on the K-State Sports Network starting at 9 a.m. Central Time on Saturday from Milan Puskar Stadium in Morgantown, West Virginia. The other games in the league, the other 11 a.m. start is Iowa State at Kansas, and then at 2:30 you've got TCU at Baylor. Texas and Oklahoma State will play at 3 o'clock, and then Oklahoma at Texas Tech at 7. I'll just ask you real briefly about Texas at Oklahoma State. I don't know if a lot of people are giving Texas much hope here. What do you say?
Well, they definitely have hope. Anytime they walk on the field, Wyatt, you look around and you look at the pieces, and you don't know if the sum of the parts equals the pieces, but if they do on that day, you have a hard time beating Texas. You know, Texas kind of controls that game for that day. It sounds crazy, right? It's no disrespect to Oklahoma State, but if Texas plays at their highest level with connectivity, without dumb penalties, and don't turn over the football, they win the game. You know, they have Sam Ehlinger. They got a veteran quarterback, Wyatt. They've got the talent. It's not, you know, this isn't Ricky Williams out running around out there, or, you know, the greatest Texas players in history, but they're just solid and good, and they match up very well in a physical style that Oklahoma State plays. Last week, we previewed Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Wyatt, and the game fell just almost exactly like we thought. Both teams very solid, lower scoring game. The question we had is, would Oklahoma State have rust? And the answer was no. They played fine in a close game, but had control, were the better team at home. They beat Iowa State. So I think Oklahoma State is the favorite in the conference, not because they can just go out on any day and dominate other people. I think they're very equal with Oklahoma, with Texas on any given day. But Texas and Oklahoma have two losses hanging on their record that Oklahoma State doesn't have. So the Cowboys have a home game. This should be very, very close and could go either way. But it's really going to be about Texas, I think. I think Oklahoma State's going to give you a solid effort, a very predictable effort. Their guys are healthy now, Wyatt. Quarterback's back. But Texas, if they decide that this game is do or die, they have to win, and they still want to be a part of this conference race, there's no reason why they can't compete and win. All you got to do, Wyatt, is go back and watch the last 3 year bowl games by Texas. When they get focused and they get after it, they blew Utah out. They pounded Georgia the year before, right? I mean, there's every risk. If you're an Oklahoma State fan, do not take this for granted. This is going to be an all-out war. And I think Oklahoma has decided that their back's to the wall, Wyatt, and I think they're going to kick it into gear. I think from now on, Oklahoma is going to be really good and try to be a part of getting second place in this conference and getting back to that championship game. The question for this game, Texas at Oklahoma State, is, does Texas have the same sense of urgency? That'll be defined, because if they get a third loss against Oklahoma State, they're probably done for any chance of getting in that Big 12 championship game. And I think the Oklahoma State's a favorite. You got K-State and Iowa State and Oklahoma running up from behind that are the most probable teams to be in that championship game. Texas, though, if they got mad and just said, we have to win, they could definitely get the job done.
Love the analysis, and we'll continue that on Saturday, 9 a.m. in Morgantown, West Virginia. That's going to wrap up the Wildcat Weekly podcast this week, presented by Kansas Land Tire and by Authentic Brand Apparel. We'll be on the air at 9 o'clock Saturday from Morgantown. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. That's our Wildcat Weekly podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Cats.
This has been the official Wildcat podcast, presented by Authentic Brand and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.